exciting. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning scripture reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
Before we reflect on God's word, let us bow our heads in prayer, ask the Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Almighty God, thank you that you are King, Creator of all. May we today bow before you and acknowledge that you are Lord. May we hear your word and may your word speak to each and every one of us. May we be challenged, may we be encouraged. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. We pray this in the name of King Jesus. Amen. I'm not really a fan of rap music. You know, it's not really my thing. And so for that matter, I'm not really a big fan of Eminem. I mean, some of you know Eminem?
Yes.
Okay. But he has a song called "Kings Never Die." It was inspired by the movie Southpaw. And it's about him talking about, you know, his own resilience and refusal to retire, that he will always remain a king of the rap world. And it ends with the words, "Here to stay, even when I'm gone, when I close my eyes, through the passage of time, kings never die." but he's wrong, okay? Because kings do die. They really do. They die all the time. Elvis Presley was the king of rock and roll, right? He died at the age of 42 from cardiac arrest. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed by an assassin at age 39. We just read that in Luke that Jesus was described as King of the Jews, and he died on a cross in his early 30s. So kings die all the time. But what if they were able to avoid such tragic ends? A number of years, The Atlantic magazine asked the question, "Whose untimely death would you most like to reverse?" In other words, if you can turn back time and save a great leader, who would you pick? And what difference would it make? Is there anyone you can think of?
JFK?
Martin Luther King. Let me give you some more examples, good examples. And I'll refer to both of them. But Buddy Holly, right, wasn't king of rock and roll, but he was the so-called father of rock and roll. And his great songs, including "That'll Be the Day," Ray Vaughan, Peggy Sue. Anybody remember those songs? Because you're going to age yourself, okay? but they make you wonder, you know, how many other classics would he have written and recorded if he had not died in a plane crash at age 22. Although not a true king, Robert F. Kennedy was a member of a family considered to be political royalty. And author Thomas Cahill wonders what America would look like today had he not died in 1968. Actor Ashley Eckstein would like to reverse Walt Disney's death. She writes, "Disney changed the world. Imagine how much more happiness and magic he could have spread had he not passed away early." And producer Allison Sweeney writes that Abraham Lincoln's assassination changed the trajectory of the United States. Now, we'll never know what could have been if he'd been able to finish his second term, right? So Elvis, MLK, Buddy Holly, RFK, Walt Disney, Abraham Lincoln, all were kings in their respective fields, and the world would certainly be different if they had not suffered untimely deaths. But what about Jesus? On this Sunday called Christ the King Sunday, Luke tells us the story of the death of Jesus on the cross, and a sign over his head reads, "This is the King of the Jews." And soldiers mock him and say, "If you're the King of the Jews, you know, save yourself." Even one of the criminals crucified next to Jesus said, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself. Save us." Now, we all know the crucifixion was an excruciating and humiliating way for a king to die. And in the case of Jesus, it was also an unjust sentence, right? The criminal on the other side of Jesus rebuked his fellow criminal, saying, "You should fear God. You're getting the same punishment he is. We are punished justly, getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." So Jesus was killed for crimes he did not commit. So what if the untimely death of Jesus had been reversed? What if Jesus the King had gone on to live a long and happy life? Would the world be a better place? I mean, you have to wonder. Since the crucifixion of Jesus was such an abomination, it's tempting to think that the world would certainly have improved if his death sentence had been overturned. But sometimes, terribly shocking tragedies can have unexpected good results. Think back to November 1963, 62 years ago, and the assassination of John F. Kennedy, one of you mentioned. This killing was a hinge point in history on par with Pearl Harbor and 9/11. And it pivoted America from the calm of the 1950s to the upheaval of the 1960s. And John F. Kennedy was no Christ figure, okay? Far from it. I mean, Jesus was sinless, while JFK had deep and personal flaws. But his death, like the death of Jesus, changed history. Initially, reaction to Kennedy's assassination was nationwide shock and sorrow. And then the American people rallied around his vision of putting a man on the moon by supporting the Apollo program. And JFK's call for civil rights was amplified by his successor, Lyndon B. Johnson, who invoked Kennedy's memory as he advocated for the Civil Rights Act. And in the end, the death of JFK was not only a tragedy, but a catalyst. His murder led to advances that might have become bogged down or not occurred at all had Kennedy served two terms during the chaos and conflict of the 1960s. We'll never know, okay? We'll never know if Kennedy would have been affected in a full presidential term or two. And in the same way, we'll never know if Jesus would have expanded his ministry beyond Israel. Although he was always quite clear that his kingdom was not from this world. As the great thinker, Christian thinker Henry Nouwen observed, for Jesus, there are no countries to be conquered, no ideologies to be imposed, no people to be dominated. There are only children and women and men to be loved. All we know for sure is that the earthly ministry of Jesus ended on a cross. And because he died and then rose on Easter, we followers of Jesus now make up the world's largest religious group with more than 2 billion adherents. And we accept the tragic death of Jesus as part of our religious history. And we understand in a variety of ways that the evil that was done to him eventually resulted in great good. Think about it on a practical level. Christians are motivated to fight injustice because it was a completely innocent Jesus who was nailed to a cross with criminals on either side of it. There's the Innocence Project, who worked to exonerate wrongly convicted individuals. In South Africa, after the apartheid era, Christians such as Archbishop Desmond Tutu led the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. It allowed victims and perpetrators to speak in public hearings and move toward forgiveness and reconciliation. And that is a Christian focus on forgiveness. And it comes from what Jesus said about his killers from the cross. Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing. Could such enormous good have been done without the cross? Perhaps. But the crucifixion of Jesus, like the assassination of JFK, is both a shock and a stimulus. Kennedy's death motivated the American people to work for progress, while the crucifixion inspires Christians to fight injustice and to do the hard work of forgiveness and reconciliation. Both tragedies point us toward the possibility that death is not the end, and that good can come out of evil. Now, the death of Jesus also forces us to confront our own mortality, to prepare for eternal life with God. After the second criminal defends Jesus from the cross, he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. No earthly king, no matter who he or she is, can make this kind of promise. Because no earthly king can offer us forgiveness and eternal life. But Jesus the King is both human and divine, so his words give us the assurance that we will be with him in paradise. The struggles of this world will be over, and we will be forgiven, and we will be made whole, and we will be eternally united with God and with each other. And here's the thing. Each of us is going to come to the end of our life, most probably with some feelings of guilt and regret. We will have done some bad things that we should not have done. We will have failed to do some good things that we should have done. And we, even if we haven't done anything nakedly evil, then surely we've done some spectacularly stupid things we now regret. And even if we work hard to fight injustice and to do the hard work of reconciliation, we're still going to make bad choices and crazy and stupid mistakes. Why? Because life is kind of chaotic, right? Life is complicated, and no one can live without sin. Some of us will even feel as guilty as the criminal on the cross who said to his fellow lawbreaker, "We got what was coming to us, but he didn't do anything wrong." But if we trust in Jesus, he can forgive us. He can give us eternal life. And that's what the criminal does. He shows his trust. He simply says, "Jesus, remember me." And what does Jesus do? He rewards his trust. He says to him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Now, do you think at this point the criminal can do anything to change his past? No, he's hanging on a cross. He's dying on a cross. All he can do is put his faith in Jesus to be his Savior. All he can do is to completely rely on God's grace. Unfortunately, that is enough. It's enough for him, and it's enough for us. The criminal believes that King Jesus is going to continue to live and come into his kingdom. And more than anything else, the man wants to be with him. And so what happens here is a lesson for all of us. Accept that your life is going to end. Believe that you can be forgiven. Trust that you can have eternal life. A king who continues to rule from heaven can give it to you. So maybe Eminem is right after all. Not about himself. Jesus is here to stay. Even when I'm gone, when I close my eyes through the passage of time, kings never die. Amen. Merciful God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day in which the emphasis is on our King, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life on a cross for our forgiveness of sins, for the reconciliation of us and you. And thank you for the words of that criminal who simply said, "Jesus, remember me." And when he put his trust in your Son, he was forgiven. He received the reward of eternal life with you. God, so often it seems too simple to be true. And yet, your Son is standing with open arms welcoming us to simply say, "Jesus, forgive me. Be merciful. Jesus, remember me. I trust in you." And the reward is a life reconciled with you, God. A life in your kingdom forever. Thank you for King Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.